It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have. I think it's 4 to 1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up. Speak up. Say something. Do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
Good morning, America. It's this Thanksgiving Eve. All across the snowy country, if you're in certain parts. My name is J. Christian Adams. I'm subbing this week for Sandy Rios on American Family Radio. It's great to be here. We've had a lot of fun, a lot of great guests. Thank you all for listening. Hope if you're traveling this week, you're traveling safely. If you're at home, enjoy it. It's a real special place to be this time of year. And this is a real special country, and we've been talking this week about what you are thankful for. And I think most of us are thankful for this country, although if you watch the news today, you will see that there's plenty of people out there who seem to hate this country and seem to dislike what it stands for. And we're going to talk a little bit today about what it stands for. We're also going to be joined by Joe DeGeneva. You may have seen him many, many times on Fox News, a lawyer, friend of the president. He's going to talk about something today about the impeachment and give you some insight into how deeply, deeply partisan and ideological your government has become. But this Thanksgiving, I always like to reflect on something, and that is how brutal, how absolutely brutal it must have been to come to this country in the 1600s. Think about that, right? And by the way, the first Thanksgiving was where? Anybody? Anybody out there? Was in Massachusetts, some say? No. The very first Thanksgiving was celebrated in Jamestown, Virginia. Now, of course, you don't know that, or most of us didn't know that, because we were reading school books that were written in Massachusetts by people who lived in Massachusetts. So we never knew that the first Thanksgiving was in Jamestown, Virginia. And if you've been to Jamestown or if you've been to Plymouth, you see how brutal it must have been. Just imagine that. You sail across the ocean, you come up the Chesapeake Bay, you search for a place to build a new world, and you land on this tiny little island and get off the boat and you look around at absolute wilderness. And that's what America started as. People who saw that. People who only had what was in the hold of three ships. The Susan Constant. The Godspeed. These were the people who started a new world. You know, I sail. Some of you have been out with me sailing the Chesapeake. And I often take people out and I say, look around, name another place on earth where it is easier to start a new civilization than these sheltered waters with many, many little inlets and alcoves and rolling farmlands and a temperate climate and access to the sea and European markets. It's almost like it was built to start a new civilization. And this Thanksgiving, I think it's a good thing to reflect on what those people went through. Because after all, so many people these days want to vilify them, want to cast them into the hall of shame of American history, those awful people who came here and interacted with the Powhatan or the Iroquois, right? And look, they brought values and civilization and dignity of individuals. They built an entire system of government based on the rights of man, on the dignity of individuals, on the limits on power. Think how revolutionary that was. Limits on power in like the year 1100. The only limits on power was how sharp the sword could be made in 1100. But the United States exists for the principle that government is limited, that man has individual dignity given to him by his creator. And that's what we should be thankful for today. But fast forward 200, 300 years, actually. Jamestown was founded in 1607. We just celebrated its 300th anniversary here in Virginia. And fast forward to 2019. What a different world. Oh, it's plenty built up. Roads, highways, cities, shopping marts, Walmarts, Chick-fil-A's. Oh, there's a topic, right? Well, we have lots of things that they didn't have when that ship anchored in 1607, but we're missing something, aren't we? We're missing the recognition that life hangs in a fragile balance. We're missing the recognition that to put that turkey on the table tomorrow, a lot of things have to happen. A lot of things have to go right. And for many, many years in Jamestown, things didn't go right. This country almost didn't get off to the start it had. They ended up eating each other. That was their Thanksgiving in the starving years. And that's a fact, by the way. So here we are in 2019, where we have a government that is no longer accountable to the will of the people. A government populated by elites who want to substitute their own judgments for those of the law, for those of the president, for those of the values of American democracy. We have a government now that exists unmoored from the political branches. And that's what the election of 2016 is showing us. For example, the impeachment inquiry rolls on. Today's news. Oops, not going as planned, it appears. Headline, Democrats struggle to find support to impeach. This is from the Washington Times, Steve Dinan. The latest polling shows 2 weeks of open impeachment hearings, and Democrats' claims of bombshell revelations have failed to build support for impeachment and instead have soured independence on the effort. Things aren't going quite as planned. And the reason we have an impeachment inquiry is because the people in the government hated Donald Trump winning, period. From the very beginning of the administration, they could not live with the results that our constitutional system produced. And they wanted to undo it any way they could. And that's what we have been living under for 3 years. And folks, I hope it opened your eyes. I mean, I know a lot of you out there already knew that things were not as they should be, that something was wrong with the country. But when I left the Justice Department in 2010 and I wrote a book about it called Injustice, I attempted to describe for you a partisan, ideological, radicalized government inside the Justice Department where people who do not share mainstream American values have enormous power. And what we have seen, I think, over the course of the last 9 years is that notion bared naked for everybody to see when we have people like Bruce Orr at the Justice Department working with outside partisans to develop a basis to conduct search warrants on a presidential campaign. Search warrants! To indict the circle of the presidential advisors. Look at what happened to Mike Flynn. Holy smokes, folks. He wasn't indicted for doing anything wrong. In other words, he didn't act in any sort of criminal behavior. What he did is he didn't tell the truth, allegedly, to an FBI agent who was sent over to the White House to trap him. And it's a crime. Get this. Everyone, get out your pen and paper. It is a crime under federal law, 18 U.S. Code 1001, 18 U.S. Code 1001. It is a federal crime to lie to a federal official. Absorb that. It is a federal crime to lie to a federal official. That's what they got Mike Flynn on. He didn't do anything wrong before that, except when they sent over FBI agents to the White House to entrap him. So what we have now is an impeachment inquiry driven by partisan ideological interests at the highest levels, both outside government and inside government. Today we're going to talk to Joe DeGenova about one aspect of this. But is it working? Does it demoralize you? We want to take your calls this hour at 1-888-589-8840. I'm Christian Adams in for Sandy Rios on American Family Radio. I said that impeachment wasn't going good. What did I base that on? Oh, there's numbers today. There's some polling data that came out. Listen to this. Quinnipiac found support among political independents had dropped 4 percentage points during this last few weeks. Other surveys show even bigger drops of support among independent voters for impeachment. Listen to this quote. This is from the pollster, Tim Malloy. Quote, "The televised impeachment hearings haven't had much of an effect on the president's approval rating or how voters feel about impeachment," said Tim Malloy, Quinnipiac polling analyst. So here we are engaged in a titanic struggle to undo the results of the 2016 election. But it's only a symptom of an underlying cause. The underlying cause is the government has become unmoored from your wishes out there. Even if you vote for certain things to happen, the government, the bureaucrats, the individual people who work for the federal government are standing in your way. Is that how it's supposed to work? Is that what people came to Jamestown and Plymouth to create? Is that what was supposed to happen when we created a government that was accountable to the people, where people escaped England because they were having their heads cut off or strung up on a rope at Tyburn because they believed a certain way? Of course not. This is a country built on freedom, and that's one thing we should be thankful for this year. I want to take your calls again at 1-888-589-8840. What are you thankful for today? What are you thankful for? And what are you going to do tomorrow? You going to travel? I would suspect a lot of you are. I think I saw 30 million Americans are traveling this Thanksgiving. So if you are traveling, please travel safely. Up next, we're going to have Joe DeGenova on. Joe really has a story that'll knock your socks off. There is a unit inside the Justice Department, It's very, very low key, but very, very powerful. And it has been attacking foreign government officials who are not leftists. Now, what do you mean by that, Christian Adams? It has been prosecuting foreign government officials, not for violations of American law. We want to talk about one world government. Maybe it's one world government based on American law. And I'm not suggesting that. But there's a unit inside the Justice Department that is attacking foreign government officials. And the funny thing about it is they always seem to be of one ideological persuasion. In other words, they aren't the Castro brothers. They aren't Hugo Chavez. They all seem to be conservative governments. Or, as they might say, right-wing governments. Right-wing governments that defeated leftist challengers and campaigns. Now, why would that be, anybody? Well, if you've been following along, you know exactly why that might be. That's because the bureaucrats of the Justice Department. We'll be up next with Joe DeGenova. I'm J. Christian Adams.
Hi, it's Michael with Bible League International, engaging the world with God's Word for more than 80 years at only $5 a Bible. I met 14-year-old Ahmed earlier this year in the Middle East. At 12, he had been recruited to be a suicide bomber. His dad died fighting for ISIS. His mother and seven siblings were radicals, but they embraced the gospel. And when they did, he viewed them as infidels and wanted them dead. But his mom prayed nonstop for his salvation. It came, and when it did, he was beaten nearly to death by the radicals he hung around with. When he and I met earlier this year, he was able to open his Arabic Bible and see where Jesus says, "They'll hate you because they hated me first." But with tears in his eyes, he said, "Michael, there's hundreds of young guys like me going to kill themselves in the name of Allah. We need to save them." And he's led dozens to Christ in a place where they need the Bible. Would you join us in this wonderful work to support the persecuted church?
Call 800-YES-WORD, 800-YESWORD. That's 800-YES-WORD. Or click sendbiblesnow.com. That's sendbiblesnow.com.
This is Pause to Pray, a chance each day to stop down from the daily noise of life and pray for our country's leaders.
Today we pray for Jeffrey Kessler, Assistant Secretary of Commerce for Enforcement and Employment. He promotes American jobs and economic growth by overseeing foreign compliance with trade agreements. Proverbs 11:1 reminds us of the importance of fair trade. The Lord detests dishonest scales, but accurate weights find favor with him. Right now, with this in mind, let's pray together. Almighty God, we ask for guidance for Jeffrey Kessler as he works on behalf of the U.S. economy. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pause to Pray is a service of this station and the Presidential Prayer Team. This Christmas season, send a prayer or Christmas greeting to President Trump and his family. Your message will be delivered straight to the Oval Office. It's fun, easy, and it's free. Learn how at pausetopray.org.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
What do you see for the next generation? Do you see a prospering nation? Do you see hope? The future is ours to create, and Liberty University is driven to train positive influencers for our country and our culture. Our mission is to guide students toward leadership as servants of the people, defenders of freedom, and champions of truth. Discover how you can impact the next generation of Champions for Christ by texting GIVE to 839-858.
There's really no polite way to say this, folks, but right now there's not a single person running for the White House who can beat President Trump. The Democrat Party's in complete disarray. They have been overrun by the socialist and the Trump-hating impeachment mob. Nancy Pelosi understands what's about to happen. So does Chuck Schumer and President Obama. His legacy is already in tatters, and if the Democrats lose in 2020, it will be completely destroyed. For the past year, I've been warning you that one of two things will more than likely happen. Either Hillary Clinton would jump into the race, or Michelle Obama would be pushed into the race. She's the only person who could unify the Democrats and electrify the identity politics crowd. And I'm not the only person who thinks this could happen. Tucker Carlson from Fox News Channel warned viewers not to bet against Michelle Obama. It could be a very interesting race, folks. I'm Todd Starnes.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Good morning, America. I'm J. Christian Adams in for Sandy Rios on American Family Radio. It's great to be here on this Thanksgiving Eve. We've been talking about partisan law enforcement and why that is behind the impeachment inquiry and why that's frankly been behind everything since Election Day on November 2016. Why all of the stories you read about the Trump-hating mania is really being driven by liberal partisan bureaucrats outside money of ideological leftist persuasion and the media. And folks, I've been on the show all week telling you how bad it is that this corrupt swamp is so entrenched in their ways that they will stop at nothing. And I want to bring on a guest, a friend of mine named Joe DeGeneva. You've seen Joe on TV a lot. Joe, I think last time we talked was down in Florida a while ago, and it's great for you to be on the show today on American Family Radio.
Thank you very much, Christian. It's great to be with you, and happy Thanksgiving to you and all the great listeners.
Thank you for being here, Joe. Now, I think I told the listeners that you had a new version of the depths that partisan ideologues of the Justice Department will go to carry out their ideological agenda. Could you kind of set that up with some details for the listeners as to how that works and what we're talking about?
Well, there's no doubt, and we know this from reporting about political contributions, that more than 90% of all donations from the Justice Department went to Democrats. That is a stunning reversal of 100 years of civil service orientation. And it makes it very clear that notwithstanding all the blah, blah, blah about how the civil service is neutral and detached and is just doing their jobs, we now know that the civil service is the backbone of the resistance against the President of the United States since before, during the transition, and after his inauguration into office. It's also true that there are many groups that try to influence law enforcement by having an effect on the kinds of work that they do overseas, as well as in the United States. There are Soros-funded groups, for example, that are non-governmental organizations, NGOs, which engage in funding projects with the overseas of foreign NGOs, and then they use that presence there to assist in investigating people overseas, some of whom are business enemies of those people in the NGOs, and some of whom are actually people who've done absolutely nothing wrong, but who are targeted by oligarchs over there and in the United States. It's a fascinating development. In fact, the FBI has been looking into the influence of these NGOs in the way that they pay for travel and expenses of FBI agents overseas to go to meetings of these NGOs, which eventually lead to the targeting of individuals, both Americans and non-Americans overseas. So it's a dangerous thing. In addition, what we've seen in the United States, for example, is George Soros has funded a group of local DAs around the United States. Local district attorneys. And why is he doing that? He wants to have an effect on American culture. He wants to decriminalize activities that he thinks should not be crimes. But more importantly, he wants to sow chaos and civil disorder by making these individual communities more dangerous. For example, the prosecutor in the Jesse Smollett case, Ms. Fox, she is a Soros-funded DA. The new DA in San Francisco, Rudine, is a Soros-funded DA. The DA in Philadelphia, who has a crazy agenda of non-enforcement. So there's a pattern here. It's to undercut the police departments. It's to sow chaos in these communities and to try to change the culture of these communities by not prosecuting crime. It's a dangerous idea. George Soros, for example, in the last 2018 election cycle, spent more than $20 million in campaign contributions. Already in the 2020 campaign cycle, he has spent almost $7 million. And over the last few years, he has spent in campaigns and in non-governmental organizations donations to left-wing socialist, almost communist organizations, $8 billion. So the notion right. that our American oligarch, George Soros, has no influence is literally stupid.
Joe, when I was at the Justice Department, they hired on policing matters consultants. They hired consultants out of this entity in New England to advise the department on proper police procedures. And you're not going to believe, I wrote about this in my book, one of the people who worked for this consulting company was Angela Davis of the Black Panthers, the one who was suspect. I'm not kidding. She was on the staff. I mean, you get hard to make this stuff up. So, reframing, that, I want to make sure the listeners understand this. FBI agents are flying to other countries to be briefed and directed and educated by Soros-funded organizations about what they ought to be doing about foreign officials and foreigners. Not, this isn't American law. This isn't things going on in Kansas. This is stuff like going on in Budapest and Guatemala City, right?
Yes. Here's what's happening. As you know, the FBI has FBI agents all over the world assigned to embassies. They are called legal attachés. Those attachés travel in the area where they are, either Eastern Europe, Western Europe, Asia, and they travel supposedly on official funds. However, what has been discovered as a result of some very fine reporting by John Solomon, especially others, but more particularly John Solomon, is that many of these agents are having their expenses and their travel paid for by Soros-funded NGOs. That is absolutely a violation of federal law. You may not illegally supplement your income and have your expenses paid by third parties with whom you are working on law enforcement activities. These are not governments that are paying for these travel expenses, not our government. These are NGOs funded by third parties who have vested interests in the investigations that are going to be instigated by these FBI people and the foreign law enforcement agencies that they're working with overseas. So this requires congressional investigation by the Senate Judiciary Committee into how and why these FBI agents overseas, assigned to entities, are being allowed to accept these expense payments, which are huge. They involve fancy hotels, meals, travel, all of which go unreported in the American press that have the effect of undercutting the independence of U.S. law enforcement overseas.
I'm J. Christian Adams. I'm with Joe DeGenova for Sandy Rios on American Family Radio. Joe, let me guess. After these FBI agents meet with these Soros organizations overseas, I'll bet they turn their attention to regimes like Hugo Chavez, the Castro brothers, the left-wing government in New Zealand. Am I right about that, or do they focus on something else?
They focus on something else. Your sarcastic and beautifully framed question actually shows the irony of what's going on here. These agents, instead of dealing with the real threats to American security, such as the socialist and communist governments in South America and Central America, when they go overseas and they are sent to these various NGO meetings, whether it's Ukraine or Hungary or all the countries in the former Soviet Union republics, they start to focus on people they call oligarchs. Now, I call George Soros an oligarch. He is a Hungarian-American oligarch. And by the way, my criticism of George Soros is for what he does, not who he is. He's free to spend his billions of dollars any way he wants to, and it's obvious that he does. I'm not criticizing him because who or what he is or his nationality or his ethnicity. I'm criticizing him because I believe that the things that he's doing are not in the interest of the United States. And his people, the NGOs such as the Open Society Foundation and others, respond by calling me and others anti-Semites, by saying that he has vast influence over certain organizations. We are accused of being anti-Semites. Well, I accept the fact that they are being ignorant and don't understand what criticism and free speech in America means. But what they want to do is they want to shut up critics of George Soros. He's not interested in an open society, as his famous organization is called in New York. He's interested in a closed society that he has influence over, and so that he can shut up people that he doesn't want to be able to talk in America. That's just not going to happen. He can call people anti-Semites all he wants. It's not going to shut up the people who believe it's very important for the American people to have a clear understanding of who is influencing their government, who is influencing their foreign service, and who is influencing their law enforcement overseas. It is a vital, important question, and it's something that Lindsey Graham should look into on the Senate Judiciary Committee about the undue influence of FBI agents overseas by these various NGOs.
We're talking to Joe DeGenova, and Joe, I noticed when I looked at the list of leaders and entities that this DOJ, this Department of Justice unit, went after, there seems to be the trend that you've referred to, the oligarchs and, frankly, more conservative governments around the world. And I think this is sort of a leftover strain of institutional leftism, where in the 60s it was like anti-colonial rubber magnates, you know, people who were oil companies, Miramar, Burma. They didn't like the Vietnamese regime. There's this pedigree on the left of hating governments and government officials that have relations with the American military, that have relations with American business. And this almost seems to be like the heirs of that sort of idea, doesn't it? It's like, you know, you were on the side of the Americans in Vietnam, therefore we're going to go after you, kind of thing.
Well, what's happened is they set up this anti-money laundering unit inside the Justice Department, and then they set up a unit to deal with kleptocracies. In other words, foreigners who were in government stole money from their governments and then repatriated that money to the United States, allegedly. Originally, the idea was to go after money in the United States. That has now transmogrified into going after money and people anywhere in the world, even if they have no connection whatsoever to the United States, have never been to the United States.
Is there a statute, Joe, they're using that allows this?
They use the Foreign Corrupt Practices Act, which has extraterritorial application, and that recently a court, the Second Circuit, struck down the application of that statute in the case of an individual who had never been to the United States and had never done things that were covered by that statute. Other circuits have ruled elsewise, and eventually it's going to be decided by the Supreme Court. But much of what they are doing now doesn't even touch the United States. That what they are doing is they are helping foreign governments go after former government officials or non-governmental officials who are extremely influential, people they call oligarchs, who actually end up being people who are only the business competitors of some of the people who are funding these NGOs overseas. Our government should not be in that business. We should not be associated with it. And most assuredly, we should not be wasting the time of FBI agents overseas investigating oligarchs in countries who don't do anything in the United States of America.
This sounds like something Eric Holder would have dreamed up.
It's part of his legacy.
Joe, let me ask you this, and this might be a hard one, but how can you tie this in a broader sense to the whole Mueller/impeachment investigation? Some might say, oh, this doesn't have anything to do with it, but I think there are some threads that connect, don't they?
Maybe not on a micro level.
Go ahead.
Well, it's pretty obvious, not to the average listener, but here's the connection. The person who was instrumental in making this explosion into extraterritorial enforcement for political purposes was Andrew Weissman, who was Bob Mueller's henchman and who actually ran the investigation into President Trump, a useless, politically motivated, incredibly unprofessional, unethical investigation of the President of the United States. It was Andrew Weissman who decided, as the head of the fraud section, he basically took over money laundering, all these investigations overseas, and said, we are going to expand this overseas. We are going to use FCPA to go after people. And he did it. He did it, and he did it on huge number of occasions. He tried to influence, for example, the Mueller case. We represent someone. This is a matter for public disclosure. Our law firm, Victoria Tunson, and I represent a gentleman who's under arrest in Vienna named Dmitry Firtash. He is a Ukrainian. He has no criminal record. He's been falsely accused by the FBI of being a member of organized crime when, in fact, he isn't. The Austrian courts have found that he is not a member of organized crime. Indeed, the Spanish courts have just dismissed all charges against him that the Justice Department instigated, that Weissman instigated in Madrid.
And Joe, where is Andrew Weissman now? Tell your listeners.
He's on
Believe. Right. Listen, we've been on with Joe DeGenova. Thank you very much for joining us, Joe. Happy Thanksgiving.
Same to you, Christian.
Take care. I'm J. Christian Adams in for Sandy Rios. We'll be back with your calls next. at 1-888-589-8840 on American Family Radio.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. America has a long history of giving thanks to the Lord as a nation. In 1789, George Washington, president of the young American nation, which had only a few years earlier emerged from the American Revolution, called an official celebratory day of thanksgiving and prayer. When we consider all that has transpired in our lives, in our families, and in our nation, there is only one appropriate response. Let praise to our God flow from our lips as we gather with our families and give thanks.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner, or visit the podcast page at AFR.net for more from Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Hey, babe, I just finished up the Christmas list for the kids.
Cool. Just make sure you check out AFA's Naughty or Nice list to see what stores to avoid.
Yeah, I'm looking at it now. It's showing that Walgreens is naughty.
Let me see. I see Walmart is still good.
Oh, but Walmart is always crowded.
Just think about the kids, babe.
Just think about the kids, babe. You're no help.
Find the AFA Naughty or Nice retailer list at AFA.net.
Good news!
From all of us at American Family Radio, thank you for packing a shoebox for a needy child as a part of the Operation Christmas Child Shoebox Campaign. Not only will a child receive a gift-filled shoebox, but they'll hear the good news of Jesus Christ. And there's an opportunity for life-changing discipleship afterwards. If you didn't have time to pack a shoebox, it's not a problem. You can build one online. Visit SamaritansPurse.org/OCC.
Brian Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. An alarming number of millennials believe in the superiority of socialism over freedom. Apparently, no one's taught them the story of the pilgrims. When they first came to our shores, they decided that instead of each pilgrim keeping what he produced, they'd dump it all into one big pot. So there was no incentive to work hard and every incentive to be lazy, since everybody got the same share no matter how hard they worked. This led to jealousy, anger, and social strife. Their solution? They gave every pilgrim family their own plot of land where they could plant what they wanted, work as hard as they wanted, sell what they wanted, and keep the fruits of their labor. Everybody immediately became more industrious, and the colony prospered. Socialism was the world's way, and it did not work. Free enterprise was God's way, and it did work.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. Hungarian Prime Minister Viktor Orban today convened an international conference to address the greatest humanitarian crisis in the history of the world, the persecution of an estimated 327 million Christians globally. Worse yet, there are believed to be 30 million more Christians being heavily persecuted this year than last. That means they're being tortured, raped, enslaved, driven from their homes, or murdered, sometimes on a genocidal scale, simply because they follow Jesus. To its credit, despite Hungary's relatively small population and economic power, that nation is employing governmental resources and leadership as a model for engagement on behalf of Christians. The Trump administration is Hungary's most important partner, but most of the rest of the world is part of the problem, not the solution. We must begin changing that now. This is Frank Affney. Learn how you can help at SaveThePersecutedChristians.org.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Good morning. I am J. Christian Adams, in for Sandy Rios today on American Family Radio. So thankful to be here. It's been a great week. I always enjoy talking to all of you. We're going to take your calls at 888-589-8840 on American Family Radio. What are you thankful for this holiday? Are you thankful for good food or something else? I'm thankful for the country. I'm also thankful I don't have to travel. Please, folks, if you're traveling this week, take your time and be careful. We're going to go right now to Charles in Texas. Charles, what are you thankful for? Charles is thankful, not with us. Charlinda in Texas. Texas, Texas. How you doing, Charlinda?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you this morning?
I'm great. So what?
I wanted to preface what I'm going to say by saying that I serve a God who's big enough to even save George Soros if George Soros were to choose him. Think of what he could do with his money for God if he would so choose.
Well, unfortunately, I don't think that's going to happen. He's working for the other team, but go ahead.
Yes, he is, but we can pray. There's more than that. I'm grateful this morning that Joel Parker Teague and Thomas Teague is my parents. My mother was absolutely lived a Christian life before me. She had prayed.
And Charlinda, your phone's a little rough there, but I think what you were saying is you're thankful for your parents and their formation that they gave you. So we're going to go to Susie. Susie is in New Mexico. How are you doing, Susie?
Hi, I'm fine, thank you. Tell me how George Soros and people like him can contribute such huge billions and bazillions of dollars when every time I contribute to a campaign, they tell me there's a limit.
Well, that's because that's hard dollars. When you contribute to a campaign, you're limited by hard dollars, meaning it is going directly to the campaign. And what George Soros is doing is something very different, and he's funding organizations. You know, I am with the Public Interest Legal Foundation. The Public Interest Legal Foundation is a 501c3 charity. You can go to the website at publicinterestlegal.org, and we are not a campaign. What we are is a nonprofit charity dedicated to fighting election fraud and voter integrity. And we are not a campaign, so you can have unlimited amounts of donation to organizations that are in the civil space, that are doing work out there to make the country better. And in his mind, they're doing work to make the country better. I'm J. Christian Adams. It's Thanksgiving Eve. We're taking your calls at 1-888-589-8840. Are you thankful that you weren't on the Godspeed and landed at Jamestown in 1607? Or would you rather be here? There's an interesting question. Would you rather be in another time? You know, I had somebody on another show yesterday saying, nostalgia for the past is ungratefulness for the present. Nostalgia for the past is being ungrateful for the present. How about that? So what are you thankful for this Thanksgiving Eve? You know, we just heard from Joe DeGeneva, who talked about how the Justice Department has a unit that's basically dedicated to going after non-leftist foreign entities. I'm not thankful that we have that going on. 1-888-589-8840. I'm J. Christian Adams. Let's go to Jerry. You're in New Mexico. How you doing, Jerry?
Hi, Christian. I'm doing good, sir. Thank you. I'm thankful for God Almighty. I'm thankful for my family, and I'm thankful for my nation. And I have a question about the Logan Act. Since George Soros is using his money to influence other governments with our government, can he be charged under the Logan Act?
Well, you know, the Logan Act, I think, requires one to be an agent of a foreign power. And you know, Soros really isn't. He is his own power. He is so big and so powerful and so rich that he becomes his own weather almost. He's not representing a foreign government, and that's what the Logan Act requires. And so I guess that's what exempts him, Jerry.
Okay, well, I want to thank you. You're doing a good job for Sandy. I drive to work with her every morning, so thank you.
Well, I appreciate that. I love guest hosting for Sandy Rios. And Sandy, if you're out there, thank you very much for giving me the opportunity. Eileen, you're down in Mississippi. Love Mississippi. What part of Mississippi are you in? You're in the part that has a bad cell, it sounds like. Greg, you're in Tennessee. How are you, Greg?
Hello.
Hi, Greg.
Hello, this is Greg in Tennessee.
How are you, Greg?
I'm doing fine, and you?
I'm doing great. What do you have to say?
Thankful for the sovereignty of God, because without his sovereignty, we would be in a world of fear and just worry about everything that's going on. So a sovereign God just cuts that issue out. And I'm thankful for AFR. I mean, I get accused all the time. Here's the guy for the commercial. He's got a commercial for AFR here. I'm thankful for you guys because you bring out so many facts and so many stories that you don't get anywhere else.
Well, and, I hope you enjoyed that. Go ahead. I hope you enjoyed that Joe DeGeneva interview because, frankly, we made some news there, guys in Tupelo. We made some news there about what's going on with this Justice Department unit. So how about you, Greg? What's your question?
Well, my question was, I wonder how deep they're going to have to dig to find George Soros and this whole movement in behind what's happening to Benjamin Netanyahu. That's such a parallel to what is happening to Donald Trump here. And I wonder how deep they'll have to dig to prove that some of this stuff is going on behind what's going on with Benjamin Netanyahu.
Right. That's a great question because the way that Joe DeGeneva described on the show in the last segment, the whole system is that these investigators get training, get briefing from Soros organizations in foreign countries, and they go back home and they target people based on this training. And, you know, it wouldn't surprise me that if George Soros is not limiting his tentacles only to American law enforcement, I wouldn't be surprised at all if it extended elsewhere. So thank you very much for your call. Andrew, what's going on in Texas this morning, Andrew?
Oh, the weather's beautiful. I just wanted to tell you what I'm thankful for.
Very good. What are you?
We are the most blessed people that ever walked planet Earth. We've got electricity, we've got cars, we've got all the food we can eat. Just being born in the United States, we've won the lottery. And we just focus on all the bad stuff that's going on, but we're the most blessed people ever on planet Earth, and God is in control.
Well, happy Thanksgiving, Andrew. I think a lot of it is you're right. Yesterday on the show, I mentioned that we also have a government that has limited powers, and that's you want to talk about a quirk in world history. It doesn't get much more quirky than that, that we're a written constitution that represents the rights of the individual, and the government is limited by a constitution. That's about as common in world history as, not much else. It just doesn't exist normally. So here we are, the eve of Thanksgiving. And I was reflecting with somebody 30 years ago this month, the Berlin Wall fell and people flooded west across open borders between Czechoslovakia and Hungary and East Germany and Poland and fled west. And if you remember that Christmas, the last regime to fall was Nicolae Ceausescu's in Romania. And I still remember the images of, frankly, they were graphic, gory images of he and his wife being put up against a wall and shot. And here we are 30 years later, after the fall of the most wicked ideological regime that existed in the 20th century, and that being Soviet-style communism. And I'm thankful for that we've had these 30 years. We're going to Wes in Ohio. Wes, how are you doing this morning? What do you have for us?
I'm doing great. I am grateful to God for two loving Christian parents who raised me, and I'm grateful for a new roof on our house, and I'm grateful for American Family Radio. I listen to it every day.
Well, great. I hope you don't miss Sandy Rios too much.
Well, I put my email is Sandy Rios' best fan, but that's that.
Very good.
I'd like to tell you that next year I've set a personal goal. I'm going to communicate with 100 people and give them slips of paper with websites for alternative media like thestream.org and One News Now so that people can be urged to get their information that way and bypass the big media.
Right, bypass the big media. I can't tell you how long it's been since I've watched network news. I used to watch network news every single night. Every single night. I would tune in at 6:30 when I was in college and I was in law school. I don't think I've watched the network news for maybe 5, 6, 7, 8 years now, maybe longer. It's completely irrelevant to me and to many Americans, and I think that's a good thing because we're finding our information elsewhere. we're not being filtered by these elites in Washington and New York City to tell us what's important. I'm J. Christian Adams. I'm in for Sandy Rios this week on American Family Radio. We're taking your calls at 1-888-589-8840. We're going to go to Jim in Mississippi. Jim, what part of Mississippi are you calling from?
Oh, Lauderdale County.
Oh, yeah. Okay, what are you thankful for today, Jim?
Oh, yeah, I'm very thankful for Life, Health, and Strength. I'm just thankful for y'all, for your program, and just be thankful for being a U.S. A citizen, and then just thankful for how God has blessed this country also, and just to just look at the hypocrisy that the left is doing with the Constitution. They want to cherry-pick certain things. Now, it's okay if they do the article of impeachment as the founders meant it to be, but yet when it comes down to the electoral college, that's not right. They want to cherry pick that. So just thank
right.
God for knowing the truth.
Well, great. And you have a great Thanksgiving, Jim. I stay warm because I think you have a storm coming. My name is Christian Adams. We're taking your calls on American Family Radio at 1-888-589-8840 on the eve of Thanksgiving. Tomorrow is Thanksgiving. And you hopefully will be spending it with friends and family, hopefully be spending it in peace. And if you aren't, be assured that people are praying for you somewhere. Jim in Georgia, how are you going to spend Thanksgiving, and what are you thankful for?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Can you hear me all right?
So far, so good.
Okay, my name is Jim, and I'm thankful that I was born in this wonderful country of all the places on this planet. Being born in the United States of America is like winning the lottery. I think that we are so well planned out by the founding fathers that even with all the glitches in our politics, the system runs good in the end. I'm thankful that we have such an awesome God that loves us so much. He provides for us. His providence is beyond description, and his ultimate gift to us is his gift of mercy and grace through his Son, Jesus Christ. And I just wanted to add one thing. I don't know if it's a sign from God, but I saw a bald eagle fly up and land in a tree in my backyard today, and I mean, I just was overwhelmed with a sense of how mighty God is. And I'm thankful for all those things.
Well, thank you, Jim. And I will tell you, I saw a bald eagle fly over my car yesterday. It was a strange experience also, flying right over the top of my car. So maybe it was the same long-distance bald eagle. Well, folks, it has been quite a week. I have enjoyed it being with you. I've enjoyed talking about the Constitution. I've enjoyed talking about the election system that we have and why it protects individual liberty. But most of all, I've enjoyed talking with you and the opportunity to share ideas. And I'm especially thankful for Sandy Rios for allowing me to sit in this chair this week. My name is J. Christian Adams. I'm president of the Public Interest Legal Foundation. You can follow me on Twitter at electionlawctr. I know it's hard. Electionlawctr. That means center. And you can follow me on Twitter at electionlawctr. You can email me at adams@publicinterestlegal.org. And thank you very much for staying with me this week. And thank you for all that you do for this country. Have a happy Thanksgiving. See you next time.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.